helmets, black tops, black pants. Seymour's got white helmets, white tops, and white pants. Altoona will kick it from our right to left here in just a moment as Deion Chesmore does the kicking duties. Sun has set, lights are on. Not much breeze to speak of. And again, temperatures in the lower 40s.
Yeah, you can feel today it is just football weather in October.
All right, Deion Chesmore is ready. Gets the signal. He'll run up. Boot meets ball, and away we go as an end-over-end kick. Taken at the 15-yard line, out beyond the far hash marks to the 25-yard line, and out to the 30-yard line. That was Caden Staffeld, who actually ran into one of his own guys from behind, maybe cost him an extra 5 yards, but still good field position for Seymour. They'll start right at their 30-yard line. Caden Staffeld, their quarterback, does a little bit of everything, connecting on 62% of his passes. That's good at this level. More than 1,100 yards through the air. 14 touchdown passes. He'll set up in the shotgun. First and 10 from their 30. Staffeld takes the snap. Runs up the middle there. Moves past the 35 out near the 38-yard line. That's as far as he'll go. Actually, it was a direct snap on the play to Salzman. It'll be second down and 2. Seymour in the direction of Jason Binns, his fourth season as their head coach. He was actually the ceremonial Green Bay Packers head coach of the week earlier this month. Second down and 2 for Seymour at their 38-yard line. Snap here again directly to Xavier Salzman, and Salzman right through the middle. He's got the first down beyond the 40, out to the 42. Salzman came in just shy of 900 yards on the year, averages more than 7 yards per carry and 12 touchdowns this year.
And Altoona is having a tough time here early defending that direct snap to Salzman, as they've already picked up a first down on two plays, two of the exact same play, a direct snap to Salzman.
Again, though, this has been at times a dominating defensive front that Altoona has had this year. First and 10 from their 42. Snap to Staffeld. He'll keep it himself through the left side of the line. Wiggles beyond the hash marks far side, past the 45, out to the 49-yard line. Gain of 7, second down, and a long 3 coming up for Seymour. Last week for Altoona, Isaac Johnson had 17 tackles in the game. Xavier Yan had 11 tackles in the game for Altoona. Second and 3. Inside handoff around the edge. Scott Sazman for Seymour. Gets along the far sideline in the plus territory inside the 45 and pushed out of bounds at the Altoona 43-yard line. And Seymour moving the ball on their first possession of the game. They've got first and 10 at the Altoona 43-yard line. Couple minutes in to this ball game.
Altoona's just having a hard time going toe-to-toe with them with the run play. They're just getting by them every single time.
Snap here to Staffeld. Keeps himself along the right. No, that's Salzman. Hits the near sideline. Inside the 25. Inside the 20. And angled out of bounds just shy of the 10-yard line. Tracked down by Everett Triba. Xavier Salzman on the snap. Came around the near side, the right side. Got to the sideline and angled out of bounds at the 12. It'll be first and 10. For Seymour at the 12-yard line, and you're seeing where Seymour giving Altoona trouble there as they set up two guys in the backfield, and it's a snap to one or the other. Both Staffeld and Salzman set up in the backfield. This time it's a snap to Staffeld. Staffeld tried to work his way through the left side of the line, wiggled his way to the 10-yard line, got bit at the ankles and knocked down after a gain of 2. So as they come down to our right, Derek, you get a better view of what Seymour does. They set up two guys in the backfield, and the snap goes either slightly to the left or slightly to the right to one of the two.
And that's just something that's really hard for this Altoona defense to read, because really you have no clue what they're going to do. They could either go right or left, and both lead different plays.
Snap this time goes to Salzman. Salzman through the middle, got a couple of yards, got popped in the belly and knocked over. Tackle on the play by Isaac Johnson for Altoona. Marked him down at the 8-yard line, so it's third down and 6'4" Seymour at the 8-yard line. They can get a first down right around the 2-yard line. Likely two down territory for them here. Third down and 6 from the 8. Snap to Salzman again. Tried to come out the right side. Turns the edge inside the 5 near the goal line. Straddles his way in. Touchdown. Touchdown for Seymour. And they're out to the 6-0 lead. Touchdown for Xavier Salzman. The senior is 13th of the year. And Seymour made quick work of that Altoona defense on the game's opening possession.
Yeah, they just let him walk right. Altoona really had no say in the matter of this Seymour drive. They completely ran right through the defense, and Altoona had no response.
Sam Michalakic, the extra point, hooks it way to the left. No good. So the extra point kick, nay-nay, and the score will hold at 6-0 Seymour. So Seymour scores the game's first possession. Altoona gets the ball when we come back. 6-0 Seymour, 8:44 to go in the first quarter. This is Eau Claire Area High School Football from 93.5 in Eau Claire Hometown Media.
Join the area's newsmakers and learn more about what is happening in our town, all while enjoying a beer with the Banker with a Beer podcast series, heard only at echometownradio.com. Each week, Jerry Keel from Northwestern Bank brings on guests to learn more about what is happening in our region, and along the way, they try some delicious beers. It's the Banker with a Beer podcast series, heard only at echometownradio.com.
Altoona down 6-0 in the school's first ever home playoff game. Seymour up 6-0, 8:44 to go in the first quarter. And Altoona about to get the ball back for the first time. And we'll see what their offense can do after Seymour went 70 yards without much resistance. Nikolasa kicks it away for Seymour. It's a ground ball kick down to our right, scooped up by an up man for Altoona. Out to the 40-yard line. Jitterbugs at the 45, wrapped up at the 50-yard line. That ground ball was scooped up by Everett Triba and brings it right to the 50-yard line. So some old-fashioned indoor football style for Altoona. They've only got to go half the way, starting at the 50.
And this is where Altoona really needs to find a response. We talk about these teams not playing from behind very much. We'll see if Altoona can find a response when they are down.
This Altoona team loaded with seniors, and obviously, again, you don't know what next year, the year after that will bring. Could be better, could be worse, but you know what this group is, and it's their last kick of the can. They're trying to go out highlight reel style. Sawyer Van Vliet under center, turns, hands off Xavier Yant, right side of the line, pushes the pile for a couple of yards. They'll give him 3. It'll be second down and 7 from the Seymour 47-yard line.
We talk about how good these defenses are for both teams. Obviously, we saw Seymour go down and score on their first possession on this Altoona defense. Now we'll see what Seymour has in store on their defensive side.
Altoona stood in body off to our right, filling in a little bit more in the bleachers as time goes on. Van Vliet under center. Fakes the gift, thought about the options. He came near side, only gains maybe a yard before he is pancaked hard on a tackle by Jordan Thompson of the Seymour. It'll be third down and 6 for Altoona at the plus 46-yard line. Sawyer Van Vliet, quarterback for Altoona, connecting on about 50% of his passes. 10 touchdown passes. Only thrown for a little more than 800 yards, but he's had that big play capability. Third down and 6 from the plus 46. Van Vliet under center. Yant set up in the backfield. Van Vliet, the pass, steps back, throws short to the right side. Knocked out at the line of scrimmage and picked off. And Seymour forces the turnover. It was deflected at the line of scrimmage, and there was Jordan Thompson to pick it off as it floated into his hands, and Seymour will take over at their 41-yard line.
And that's one Altoona really didn't want to have happen. Immediately shut down, and now an interception. And now you let Seymour potentially go up by 2 scores.
Staffeld and Salzman in the backfield. First and 10 from their own 41. It goes a staff out around the far side, the left side. Flag gets thrown as he hits the edge, gains a couple of yards, and is thrown back on a shoulder tackle by Owen Gunderson. We'll see what the flag is for. 6-0 Seymour, 7:15 left in the first quarter. It's going to be a hold on Seymour. That'll push them back 10 yards. So grease up the pole a little bit for them. The tough thing for Altoona, though, on that last possession, they had the enviable field position at the 50, only moved it a couple of yards, and eventually throw the interception so you don't even flip field position.
Yeah, that's one thing that's really not great for Altoona. You get the ball right at midfield, only 50 yards to go, and then you give the ball to Seymour with very enviable field position for them.
First and 20 from their 31. End around, coming to their side. Ball comes free, picked up by Altoona. Fumble, and Altoona will have it near side around the 35-yard line. An end around to Gregory Salzman, and as he came around the right side, he lost control of the rabbit. It came out of his possession right into Triba's belly as it took a friendly hometown bounce on the synthetic surface. So one turnover leads to another, and Altoona will have the ball at the plus 33-yard line.
And Everett Triba has just been everywhere. He's been making noise on both sides of the football, whether it's offense or defense. Right there forcing that fumble, he's been an offensive weapon as well. Let's see if Altoona can use him.
Hand off here, up the middle. Oh, Van Vliet keeps it himself, bursts on through the left side. He's got big yardage inside the 25, inside the 20, and down to the 15. A gain of 16 on the play, first and 10 from the 15-yard line.
There's Sawyer Van Vliet using his legs up the middle, not afraid to go through the line and get extra yardage. This time he broke free for a big play, and now inside the red zone are the Railroaders.
Altoona down 6-0, halfway through the first quarter, but threatening here. First and 10 from the plus 15. Van Vliet under center near hash marks. Makes the give, keeps it himself, zigzags his way through the middle. He's inside the 10, inside the 5, and wrapped up right around the 4-yard line. It'll be first and goal to go for Altoona from a toe's length inside the 5.
And now Altoona's really starting to move the football consistently, getting the ball. Once they got the ball in great field position on that fumble, they've really moved the ball consistently on these first two plays. Now all they got to do is punch it in.
Van Vliet. Again under center, Yamp behind him. Sends Ratcliffe in motion, turn, handoff, Xavier Yant into the line, backpedals his way, and he's gonna get in, pushing a couple of defenders with him. Touchdown, touchdown for Altoona. They've tied the game, extra point pending.
Yeah, Xavier Yant just able to bully his way through the line, get into the end zone, and put the Railroaders at the very least level.
Altoona always goes for two. So they will go for two here in a game tied at 6. And a chance to grab the lead with 5:53 left in the opening quarter.
We've seen the Railroaders have two possessions now with great field position. One at the 50-yard line, one at the 35, and one of them has gone in now for a touchdown.
Van Vliet, inside handoff for two as walking in Deion Chesmore. Chesmore walks in for two, and Altoona out to the 8-6 lead. So Altoona turns the fumble in the points. They lead 8-6, 5:53 left in the opening quarter. It's Seymour ball when we come back from 93.5 and Eau Claire Hometown Media.
Sports Talk Radio is flooded with opinions.
Blah, blah, blah.
So why not cleanse the palate a little with something different? Check out the Let the Kids Play podcast series, heard only at echometownradio.com. That's echometownradio.com. Get the opinion on the latest sports news from the perspective of a 13-year-old. Join Derek Montesano every week for his opinion on what is happening in sports. Let the Kids Play, heard only at echometownradio.com.
Hey, Altoona out to the 8-6 lead, 5:53 remaining in the opening quarter of this first round playoff matchup, Altoona's first ever home playoff game. Deion Chesmore kicks it away for Altoona, taken by an up man for Seymour at his 25-yard line, trying to work his way between the hash marks is Johnny Ramirez. He's trying to see if a crease develops. Nothing really does, and he's eventually stopped at his own 28-yard line. That's where Seymour will start. Derek Seymour had no trouble on their first possession, but on the last possession, fumbled on the first play.
Yeah, every try, but on that last drive, able to force that play away, able to force the issue where Altoona get the ball quickly in great field position and then go down and now take the lead.
Both these teams have won by an average of almost three scores. As Tribe has got to come off the field here for a moment. Maybe he's got a scratch or something or some type of equipment issue. It's not an injury. First and 10 for Seymour at their own 28-yard line. Caden Staffeld in the shotgun. Turn handoff here to Salzman. Salzman through the left side. Has a little bit of yardage past the 30-yard line. Gets out to the 33 before he's gang tackled and brought down by a host of Altoona Railroaders. This Altoona team, we noted it last week, such good tacklers, and they're violent tacklers. Owen Gunderson was in on that one there. It'll be second down and six from their own 34. Seymour had won six in a row before their loss last week to Winneconne, who, by the way, is the number one seed in this bracket. High snap there with throws the timing off for Caden Staffeld. He turns the handoff. Nobody was there, and he's brought down the backfield back at the original line of scrimmage.
Yeah, Gavin Lofgren there to bring him down in the backfield, and Altoona now setting themselves up in a delicious third down and nine situation.
Yeah, third and nine for Seymour at their own 29-yard line, 4:45 remaining in the first quarter. Have yet to see Seymour throw it through the air, but we know by the numbers that they can. Caden Staffeld again, a high snap, brings it down, rolls out near side, looking downfield. Now flings it, he's got a man open. That's his brother Carson, who makes the catch near the first down marker at the 38-yard line, and he's got it. He was immediately tackled, but he had the first down. Up on the tackle was DeAndre McCoy, but not before they gained 10 for the first down.
Seymour's done a good job here early of just getting the third down successfully. They've only had two so far, but they've been successful, including that third and nine right there.
Yeah, their touchdown was on a third down earlier. First and 10 for Seymour at their 39. Caden Staffeld takes the snap, a little lower this time, rolls out far side, throws it, it's intercepted! Racing downfield, Isaac Johnson, far sideline, knocked over at the 25, and that's where Altoona will take over. Isaac Johnson, the throw was right to him, all like waking up and somebody made scrambled eggs for you. It was right into his chest, and Altoona turns it over. There was a late flag that was thrown, and there's going to be a block in the back on Altoona, but that's going to be on the return. So the fumble, the interception will stand. Altoona will take over on the interception. They just won't have as good a field position as there was a block in the back on the ensuing return by Isaac Johnson. But Derek, another big turnover, and again, Altoona with great field position and a chance to add to this 8-6 lead late first quarter.
That ball was just right to Isaac Johnson, a perfect pass to the wrong color jersey, as now Altoona with a good chance to perhaps double their score right now.
After the penalty, they'll take over, still in good field position at the 37-yard line. Handoff racing through the middle, Xavier Yant. He's dragging a tackler with him inside the 25, down to the 21. There was a Seymour player who was affixed to his side there like a squirrel carcass after it had been hit on Highway 12. It'll be first and 10 for Altoona at the plus 21-yard line.
Objectively here, we've yet to see Altoona start really in their own territory. They've had the ball now three times. They've all been either at the 50-yard line, or in Seymour territory.
First and 10 from the plus 21-yard line. Van Vliet turns, hands off Deion Chesmore through the right side of the line. He's inside the 20 to the 16-yard line. He's stood up and thrown back, but not before a gain of 5. It'll be second down and 5.
You know, this Altoona team can move the ball consistently. We've seen them get big plays, especially last week against Somerset, where they ran away with that one. It started with big plays downfield. In this case, though, they really haven't needed a huge play in order to get downfield. They've been in great field position almost every drive.
2:40 and bleeding to go in the first quarter. Altoona leads 8-6. First round playoff matchup. Van Vliet under center. Hand off to Xavier Yant. He's into the line. Gets a push from behind. He'll be just shy of the first down as he's brought down at the 12. It'll be third down and a yard, but again, a great push through that line. Xavier Yant got through and got a little bit of help from one of his linemen as well. An extra shove from Malachi Zelms, the sophomore.
And you got to love when your O-line's able to help out your running back, just able to give him the extra yardage to get him very close, if not the first down, at least very close to it.
Third down and a yard from the 12. Van Vliet fakes the give, keeps it himself, and he'll squirt on through the left side, untouched from 12 yards out. He's in. Touchdown. Touchdown for Altoona, and they lead 14-6 with 1:47 to go in the opening quarter.
And once again, Altoona just so tricky to read when it comes to when Van Vliet goes under center. There's so many options he can go to. Deion Chesmore, Xavier Yant, himself. There's so many options. That time Van Vliet did it himself.
And again, Altoona always goes for two, so they can make it a two-possession game here as Van Vliet will bring the offense up on the near hash mark, going for two. Yant in the backfield, wide out split both ways. Van Vliet rolling out far side, no throws back to the near side. Oh, the old throwback play will work to perfection as nobody had caught Chesmore leaking out from the backfield. Deion Chesmore catches the ball over the shoulder and walks into the end zone. Successful two-point conversion, and Altoona has scored 16 unanswered points to lead 16-6 with 1:47 to go in the first quarter. Altoona kicks it back to Seymour when we come back on 93.5 and Eau Claire Hometown Media.
The best place to go for the best local content is echometownradio.com. There you'll find dozens of local podcasts covering everything from news to sports to dogs and even beer. echometownradio.com is the place to hear from people right here in the Chippewa Valley talk about what matters to you. New podcasts dropping daily. That's echometownradio.com, and look for them on Spotify.
Altoona leading 16-6 late first quarter as Deion Chesmore kicks it back to Seymour. It lands at the 25-yard line, and Seymour's just got a fall on top of that ball as it landed in no man's land. Falling on top of it was Carter Gesse. Seymour will take over, moving left to right. Seymour moved down the field with no trouble on their first possession, but on the second possession, fumbled on their second play from scrimmage, and last possession, threw an interception.
Yeah, that's the thing. Seymour had that great first drive and had Altoona on their heels, but then two straight turnovers on back-to-back drives, and Altoona has taken full advantage of the great field position given to them.
Look down the crowd. It's a hot chocolate, hot apple cider type of evening. Temperatures in the upper 40s, but it's an October upper 40s, not to be confused with a March 40s. In March 40s, you're wearing shorts. October 40s, you're bundled up in your winter's finest. First and 10 from their own 29 for Seymour. Snap, into the line, nothing happening here. That one went right to Xavier Salzman, the senior, and he had nowhere to go. Pushed the line about a yard to the 30. Second down and 9 as we hit the final minute 30 of the first quarter. 16-6, Altoona leads. Altoona head coach Chad Hansen encouraging the spectators below us, especially the students off to the right, to make a little extra noise. And again, quietly, Altoona's made this a two-possession game at 16-6 late first quarter. The dual threats in the backfield. Who does the snap go to? Goes to Salzman, then pitches it to Gesse, who throws downfield, got a man wide open. Oh, it's dropped! Dropped to the 50-yard line. Oh, my goodness, I feel awful for that poor kid. They did a reverse. The player had gotten beyond the whole defense. Wide open on top of the logo was Braden Miller, a sophomore, and that poor kid walks to the far side, and you feel sick for him. I think everybody in this ballpark, whether they're rooting for Altoona or Seymour, wants to give that poor kid a hug. If he catches it and turns, he's likely gone. Instead, it's third down and 9 from their own 30. Caden Staff held in the shotgun, nobody around him. Takes the snap, drops back, under pressure, rolling near side, being chased. He's going to tuck it himself, try to run, but nowhere to go. He's thrown out of bounds near side after a short gain of a yard. Tracked down and thrown out of bounds by Luke Hansen, the senior. And Seymour will have to punt as the final 35 seconds of the opening quarter tick away.
And that was, apart from that drop at midfield, Altoona really just shut down the run game of Seymour on that drive, and hence they force a quick three and out.
See if Seymour does punt it, final 15 seconds here. Back to return for Altoona is Chesmore at around his 30-yard line. Seymour late to get another guy out there. Final 5 seconds here. Caden Staffel back to punt, stands at his 20. Gets the snap, wobbly kick that bounces at the Altoona 35, rolls inside the 30. They're gonna let it roll out of bounds at the 25-yard line as the first quarter will come to an end. Seymour scored first, Altoona rallied back though, and at the end of one quarter, Altoona leads this playoff game 16-6. It's Altoona ball when we begin the second quarter next from 93.5 and Eau Claire Hometown Media.
Eau Claire Hometown Media is where the Chippewa Valley comes to talk. Follow Eau Claire Hometown Media on Spotify and have local podcasts come right to you every single day. Eau Claire Hometown Media features Banker with a Beer, Dose of Dog, Talk of the Town, and many other popular local podcasts. Follow Eau Claire Hometown Media on Spotify today.
Hey, the official home of the Visit Eau Claire podcast series is echometownradio.com. Each month we find out more about the great attractions our area has. The Visit Eau Claire podcast series at echometownradio.com. Scott Montesano with you. Derek Montesano here as well. Level 1 of the WIAA playoffs. Division 4 here in Altoona. Number 4 seed Altoona leading the number 5 seed Seymour. 16-6 as we begin the second quarter. First ever home playoff game for Altoona. Ever in the school's history. Marking what has been the best season this program has had. They've had some good seasons of late. Fourth time in the last 5 years getting into the playoffs, but this is a group and a unit that has felt it could be a little bit more special, and it has done that. First and 10 for Altoona at their own 25. Van Vliet fakes the give, tries to come off the right side, but good containment by Seymour. Not going to allow him anywhere to go. He's brought down after a short gain of perhaps a yard. Braxton Crabby in on the tackle for Seymour.
And I mentioned this before, but Altoona has so many options in the backfield to go to. It's hard to really read, even on a run play, what they're going to do, because everything looks pretty much exactly the same. They can do whatever they want with it, except on pass plays. Then they're passing.
Second and 9 from their 26. Pitch to Chesmore near side, has some room, gets beyond the 30-yard line, and is wrapped up at the shoulders and tackled by Jordan Thompson. Got it out to the 32, though, to set up a third and three. Seymour led 6-0, and they had the ball up 6-0, but that fumble near midfield completely flipped the whole game around.
You talk about how the turnovers in this game have really flipped the momentum. Altoona went from down 6-0 on their heels while Seymour was looking like they were going to drive again, then a fumble, then an interception, and it's 16-6 Altoona.
Pitch to Radcliffe, left side, he may be gone. Past the 40 to the 50, it's a foot race on the far sideline. 30, 20, they're going to try to angle him out of bounds inside the 5. No, they're not going to get him. Wave him goodbye. Touchdown, touchdown for Gabe Radcliffe and the Altoona Railroaders. And they lead this one by a score of 22-6.
Well, there's a big chunk play for Altoona, just going more than half a field. In fact, closer to 70 yards on that play to the end zone. And now Altoona has really put Seymour in a very difficult spot.
That's what we have seen from Gabe Radcliffe the last couple of weeks, that big play capability that Gabe Radcliffe has.
I mean, just the speed of Gabe Radcliffe, he can pretty much outpace a lot of players that he goes up against. See there, he just out on that last play, he just outran the defender trying to angle him out of bounds and got into the end zone.
2-point conversion attempt. Van Vliet back to pass, flings it towards the end zone, incomplete. Threw it a little low towards the knees and unable to scoop it up was Connor Smoody. So incomplete, the 2-point conversion fails. However, the Altoona Railroaders out to a 22-6 lead with 10:26 to play until halftime. Altoona's defense goes back to work, giving the ball back to Seymour when we return on 93.5 and Eau Claire Hometown Media.
We discuss this game and all the local games on the Sports Watch podcast series, heard only at echometownradio.com. That's echometownradio.com. The Sports Watch podcast series is the only audio show in the area that is devoted to Chippewa Valley sports, high school, the Blue Gold, the Chippewa Steel, as well as shining a light on the numerous youth and niche sports organizations in town. The Sports Watch podcast at echometownradio.com.
10:36 until halftime, and right now Altoona in firm control in this playoff game. They lead Seymour 22-6. Deion Chesmore about to kick it back to Seymour. Gabe Radcliffe moments ago, 78-yard touchdown run for Radcliffe. Or 68 yards, I should say. Meanwhile, a short kickoff here will just be deadened by Seymour's Johnny Ramirez at his 25-yard line. That's where Seymour will take over. First and 10 from their 25 as they move from right to left. But Gabe Radcliffe a moment ago, though, Derek, his ninth touchdown, his third in the last 2 weeks. It's been highlight reel, a run of 50, 60, 70 yards. And again, it's all Altoona right now.
Yeah, Gabe Radcliffe, like I said earlier, is just able to outrun his defenders consistently. He's just got that speed factor.
Caden Staff out. Hand off here to Salzman. He's got room to the right side. Past the 30 and upended into the air and lands down on his hip after a gain of 8 on the play and gets up and hobbles a little bit. He went running there and almost video game style got swiped at the side and went flying through the air. Got an extra yard out of it, but got hit there on the hip. And whether you're walking into the side of a desk drawer, you're being hit by a high school senior, it's going to hurt one way or the other. Second down and 2 from their own 33 for Seymour. Staffel takes the high snap. Handoff, hit in the backfield, though, and lost for a couple of yards. Gave it back again to Xavier Salzman. Salzman, though, nowhere to go. Lost a couple of yards. It'll be third down. And they marked him at the 32, so third down and 3. And boy, if Seymour doesn't get it here, you start wondering if they think about going for it, though I think that's too risky of a play. But Altoona could make it a hard decision for them here by stopping them again. Third and three from their own 32. Staffel looking to pass. Rolling near side. He's got time. Now under duress. Took too much time. Ball comes free. Scooped up here inside the 15-yard line. And Altoona will take over at the 13-yard line. Staffeld had it stripped away from him, and the loose ball was scooped up by Altoona, and Altoona has a chance to throw that wet bag of cement right across the back of Seymour's head right here as they lead 22-6 with 9:07 to play in the first half.
Yeah, Isaac Johnson, the one to get on that football and secure it. Now the second fumble that Altoona has forced, third turnover by the Thunder.
First and 10 for Altoona at the 13-yard line. And again, Altoona could really put it away right here, to be all honest with you. Two wideouts split far side, Xavier Yen in the backfield. Van Vliet fakes the handoff to him. Instead, hands to Chesmore coming through the right side. Hesitation move, now works ahead inside the 10 and knocked down by Johnson, but not before a gain of 5 to the 8-yard line. Second and 5 at the 8.
And you look at how much this game has flipped. Remember, Seymour had the 6-0 lead at the start of this game and were threatening for more, but then the first fumble happened. Then the interception and now another fumble. And Altoona's taken advantage of all the turnovers Seymour has given them.
Second down and 5 from the 8. Altoona leads 22-6, 8:30 to play in the first half. Hand off, Yan, up the middle. He's got the first down. He's got a coagulation of white jerseys around him, drags them to the 2, and it'll be first and goal from the 2. I mean, Xavier Yan, you know, it was very much like a blood cell fighting a virus. He had everything sticking to him and was still dragging it along with him. It'll be first and goal from the 2.
Xavier Yan, just a strong runner up the middle. He's an absolute weapon to have for this Altoona team. He's able to be the guy to go up the middle and get extra yardage on the O-line push.
Pause here is Isaac Johnson. Was standing off the side here, and Chad Hansen wanted to take his time. He's going to call timeout. So Altoona's going to call timeout. We'll keep it here, 7:44 until half. Altoona leading 22-6 in this game. Hey, do you know your local trivia? Test yourself and find out how some of the area's newsmakers fare when asked these questions on the popular Brains and Beers podcast series presented by the Phoenix Tap Room and Kitchen. Each month, new local guests try their hand at answering some local trivia questions, all while enjoying a beer. Check out the Brains and Beers podcast series at echometownradio.com. Again, winner of this game will get either number 1 seed Winneconne or number 8 seed Milwaukee North. That game going on right now. Alas, Derek, we have no idea what's going on. That game is behind the steel curtain, isn't it?
Yeah, they decided to hide the Winneconne Milwaukee North game behind a $9 paywall for the game. So I don't know about you, but I don't want to pay $9 to follow the game.
Oh, that's Walt Disney World prices. $9 to watch that playoff game, Winneconne and Milwaukee North. Regis also in action tonight. They're the number 1 seed in Division 6. And we may have an update on that later on tonight as well. Nope, we won't have an update of that one either. Well, I'd bet you a communion wafer that Regis probably going to win that one. All right, first and goal for Altoona at the 2-yard line. Van Vliet under center, turns, fakes the give. He'll walk it in right side. Touchdown. Touchdown for Altoona, and they lead 28-6. With 7:41 to go in the first half. My goodness, how this entire game has flipped around as Altoona has scored 28 unanswered points. They have forced 3 turnovers in the game, and it has been all Altoona in the school's first ever home playoff game.
We talk about wanting to make a statement in a in your very first ever home playoff game. Well, that's how. Well, this is how you do it. Score 28 points, and we're not even at halftime.
Van Vliet, his second touchdown run of the game. His 10th touchdown run of the season. He's under center as they go for two. Again, fakes the handoff, works his way through the pile, churning the legs, trying to scratch his way ahead. He breaks the plane. Chad Hansen bouncing like a kangaroo on the Australian outback on the near sideline as he celebrates towards the student body near side. It's 30-6 in favor of Altoona with 7:41 to go until halftime. Altoona kicks it back to Seymour when we come back from 93.5 at Eau Claire Hometown Media.
We discuss this game and all the local games on the Sports Watch podcast series, heard only at echometownradio.com. That's echometownradio.com. The Sports Watch podcast series is the only audio show in the area that is devoted to Chippewa Valley sports, high school, the Blue Gold, the Chippewa Steel, as well as shining a light on the numerous youth and niche sports organizations in town. The Sports Watch podcast at echometownradio.com.
Short kickoff back to Seymour, and Seymour will start up at their own 34-yard line. 7:35 remaining until halftime. It's all Altoona in the school's first playoff home game ever. They lead 30-6. Altoona, the number 4 seed. Seymour, the number 5 seed. The score sort of beguiling what the seeds actually are. Game all turning, though, on a variety of turnovers. Caden Staffeld in the shotgun for Seymour. Empty backfield around him. Three wideouts, two far side, one to the near side. Quick throw near side. Diving intercept. Oh, nearly picked off along the near side, but unable to scoop it off of the synthetic turf was Owen Gunderson. They tried a quick inside slant. The pass went behind the receiver, and there was Gunderson, who nearly made a lunging interception.
That was nearly the fourth turnover by Seymour right there. Instead, it just a second and 10 for Seymour. They're kind of lucky to get away with that. Owen Gunderson just missed a nice diving interception.
Seymour quarterback Caden Staffel threw his fifth interception of the season earlier tonight. Snap, quick throw, far side, then a lateral. And they're not going to get much out of this. They got the quick pass a couple yards downfield. Then tried a quick lateral, the old hook and lateral play there, but Scott Sassman was swallowed up and hugged, and all of it results in just a one-yard gain. It'll be third and 9 from the 35-yard line. The one thing you looked at with the Seymour wins is that Bay Conference overall was rather soft. But you still wondered how that would play out tonight, and now we're seeing how it plays out. Caden Staffelt, shotgun on 3rd and 9 at his own 35. Three-step drop, now flushed out, rolling far side, near the sideline, chucks it downfield. Diving catch made in plus territory on the sideline for a first down. He hit his brother Carson Staffelt inside the 40, and Seymour is out to the Altoona 38-yard line. Extended the play, and that brother connection, if you will, and a lengthy gain of about 25 yards.
That right there was another one very close to an Altoona shutdown drive where they just set a team down 3 and out very quickly.
First and 10 for Seymour at the plus 38-yard line. Staffeld again, shotgun, quick throw near side, found Carson Staffeld, his brother, on an inside slant. He'll bring it to the 30-yard line and a gain of 8. 6:15 to go until halftime. Altoona leading 30-6, up by 24 points. It's a 3-possession game. From a Seymour perspective, all they could do, because again, there's no safety net. There is no game next week if you don't win. So they're hoping score, get a stop, and maybe have some momentum going into halftime. Staffeld in the shotgun. Looking far side. Throws for the first down, incomplete. He led Xavier Salzman a little too much. on the drive route, and it'll be third down and two for Seymour at the 30.
Altoona once again forcing a third down situation for Seymour. Ever since those first couple of drives for Seymour, Altoona has just shut down the offense for the Thunder.
They came out initially in that gimmicky split backfield where the snap either went to the right or to the left. Haven't gone back to it since and really can't now, down by so much. Direct snap into the line, but nowhere to go for Charlie Gilbertson. They tried a direct snap to Gilbertson, and Gilbertson got thrown back. And it'll be fourth down and about 3, maybe 4 yards to go. Deion Chesmore amongst others for Altoona on the tack. It'll be fourth down, and we'll call it 3 from the 31, and Seymour will go for it down by as much as they are. Staffel in the shotgun. Wide receivers put both ways. Whistles will blow the play dead just as the ball was snapped, and they're going to call an illegal procedure on Seymour. Well, that'll take a wing off the airplane, make it a little bit more difficult for them to stay afloat. It'll be fourth down and now 8 back at the 36-yard line.
So you make a difficult play even more difficult if you're Seymour with that illegal procedure all the way back up to where the original line scrimmage was.
Yeah, now they're trying to navigate busy city streets, looking at their phone for directions, and the phone's on 1% power. They've just made it more difficult on themselves. Fourth down and 8, and a ruckus Altoona crowd below. Shotgun for Staffel. Rolling far side, now running for his life, gets to the sideline, chucks it downfield, a heave and a prayer. It's picked off the 10-yard line. Coming near side, that's going to be Triba. Triba all the way out beyond his 30 and runs out of bounds. Everett Triba intercepted that heave and a prayer. Of course, he probably should have just knocked it down. Would have been better field position, but you're not going to fault the young man for taking the pick. Meanwhile, though, there's a penalty on Altoona, though, so wave it off. The signal the official gave was for intentional grounding, but that wasn't it. I think he called a roughing the passer. He just gave the wrong signal. Let's see what the white cap now does here. There is no microphone on him tonight. See what his actual call is now. Now he's going to give another call, but it looks like it's going to be on Altoona, and it will keep possession for Seymour. So it's going to be on Altoona, the 15-yard personal foul penalty, and it'll be first and 10 for Seymour. They get bailed out on the penalty. First and 10 for Seymour at the Altoona 21-yard line. 4:30 to play in the opening half. Altoona leads 30-6, and Seymour gets new life on the penalty on fourth down. Handoff Salzman going wide to the far side, tries to get the edge, but Altoona, good containment, limits him to maybe a yard on the play. Austin Worth helping to lead the charge for Altoona. Second and 10 for Seymour, but wave off yet another turnover in this game on that penalty.
Yeah, that could have been the fourth right there for Altoona. They've had a lot of turnovers in this game. That was nearly another one. Instead, it's just a flag at the end of the day.
Second down and 10 from the plus 21. Staffel rolling near side. Looking, directing traffic with his hand. Now he's going to run it himself inside the 20 to the 15, wrapped up at the shins and brought down. And another late flag as he got brought down. I'm intrigued to see what this one will be from the official on the near side. It was brought down as the tackle was being made. Looked like it was a tackle around below the knees. But we will see. Brought him down at the 15, which would be a gain of about 6. But now we're going to see what they discuss on the penalty. All of the officials get together around the flag. And it will be a face mask. No, it's going to be a personal foul face mask. So the hand must have gone up more than I saw. So tack that on top of that. And they've given a sideline warning to Altoona's near side as well. So after the penalty, Seymour will have first and goal at the 5. 3:45 left. First half. Altoona leads 30-6, but Altoona threatening to give some ground here to Seymour before halftime. Seymour up to the ball. First and goal from the 5, a drive that's been aided by one big passing play and a couple of penalties. Staffeld in the shotgun. Sends a man in motion. Takes a snap, fakes the give, tried to run to the line, and he is pummeled back. Ended up losing a couple of yards on the play. Gavin Lofgren on the tackle.
Now if you're Altoona, just want to shut this to completely get to the half at this point. Up big. Don't let Seymour get any momentum going here in these last 3 minutes with, well, a score here inside the 10-yard line.
3 minutes until halftime. Altoona leading 30-6. Second and goal from the 7 for Seymour, trying to punch it in down to our left. Staffeld, shotgun snap, rolling far side, looking towards the end zone, throws for the end zone, catch, touchdown. Touchdown for Seymour. Ended up hitting Braden Miller, and Seymour is back on the board. It's 30-12. So 30-12, Altoona still leading big at 18 points, but Seymour grabbing some momentum here late in the first half. And Seymour will go for 2. Down by 18 points. Need the 2-point conversion here to make it a 2-possession game. Direct snap to Salzman. Salzman side saddles his way in the backfield, seeing if something develops. Nothing does, as Altoona does a good job of making sure no doors become unlocked. And he's thrown back for a loss of a couple of yards. 2-point conversion fails. And the lead for Altoona will stay at 18 points. Stays a 3-possession game, by the way. We have 2:45 remaining until halftime. We'll keep it here. But that's a big 2-point conversion stop for Altoona, because, again, it keeps it as a 3-possession lead.
Yeah, if you're Altoona, you're just able to keep a huge lead on the Seymour team, keep any sense of a momentum grabbing 2-point conversion out of the equation after that stop.
Well, Altoona has 2 timeouts to work with and 2:45 remaining. Plus they get the ball coming out of the halftime break. And considering how this Altoona offense can score in a hurry, I would not anticipate Chad Hansen to simply bleed out the clock here in the last 2:45. They're going to go for it. Of course, a lot of it will depend on what happens on first down. Seymour, by the way, does have all 3 of their timeouts remaining. Hey, folks, financial advice served up in Delicious Bites, the Money Donuts podcast series presented by Royal Credit Union, discusses everything money as it relates to you in the area. Check out Money Donuts, presented by Royal Credit Union at echometownradio.com. Sam Mikulcikic on to kick it away for Seymour. It's a ground ball kick that's heading to the far side. It's going to roll out of bounds at the Altoona 25-yard line. So Altoona will end up getting great field position once they mark this one off. And we'll see what Altoona's offense can do in the waning 2:45 of the first half. Again, across the state, playoffs beginning tonight. Looks like they might have them kick it again. Yeah, Altoona's going to like to have them re-kick it, as opposed to taking the ball at the 35 automatically, so they're going to have them re-kick it.
They do things all over again just from 5 yards back now for the Thunder.
Now, Altoona's got more faith that they're going to be able to get a really good return here. Latest kick is another ground ball kick. Raptamel scooped up by Chesmore at his 35-yard line. To the 40-yard line, runs into traffic and cannot squeak loose as there was a sea of black jerseys and white jerseys. But still, Altoona will take over at their own 42-yard line with two timeouts and 2:39 left in the first half. And again, Altoona leads 30-12. Altoona has scored on all but their opening possession of the game, which resulted in an interception on the third play from scrimmage.
Yeah, Altoona has just been steamrolling here since that first possession's interception. They've been pretty much unstoppable on offense.
First and 10 from the 42. Van Vliet. Toss goes to Chesmore, coming wide to the near side, turns the edge past the 45 and walled off. Nowhere else to go. Johnson there on the tackle as well as a couple of others, but not before a gain of 5 on the play to the 47-yard line. It'll be second down and 5. Now, Tuna will have sort of a muddled huddle here. You want to be quick, but not too quick, because if you don't pick up the first down here, you don't want to leave up a lot of time for Seymour to maybe try something. You want to play both sides of the pencil, if you will. Van Vliet, tossed to Ratcliffe, going wide to the far side, but this time he is devoured in the backfield for a big loss by Xavier Salzman back to the 41-yard line, a loss of 6. It's third down and 9, 1:45 to go, and a little surprise Seymour isn't using a timeout here, because if they can stop Altoona right here, Altoona will have to punt the ball back. If I'm Altoona, I'm letting that clock go down as far as I can. Third down and 11 from their own 41. Up to center, Van Vliet fakes the give, options it near side, Chesmore. Chesmore along the near hash, marks past the 45, dives ahead out to the 48-yard line, but well shy of the first down. And now Seymour will use their first timeout with 1:14 left. Meanwhile, Chesmore is slow to get up. And actually, the official should give Seymour their timeout back, because this would be an injury timeout. And Seymour should get their timeout back. So Seymour's going to catch a break here as Chesmore is down. He gets help up onto his feet and will walk off. So a minute 14 left, and Seymour's going to get the ball back. Altoona leads 30-12, but Seymour's got a chance to really, again, change the narrative of this first half.
All of a sudden, if Seymour go down here after Altoona pumped the ball back in the next minute 14 seconds, go down the field, score a touchdown. Although they don't get the ball back for the chance of the terrible twofer, they are able to get some more points on the board before half.
Gunnarsson back to punt. Nobody back to return for Seymour. There's the snap of Gunnarsson. That's a fake. Throws it near side to Ratcliffe. Makes the catch. First down at the Seymour 46-yard line. Seymour appeared to know it was coming. They had nobody back. Gunnarsson came rolling near side, floated a pass to Ratcliffe, first down to the Seymour 46-yard line.
Ratcliffe just barely passed the line to gain for Altoona, and now Altoona has new life with under a minute to go.
57 seconds until halftime. They've got two timeouts to play with as well. Van Vliet under center. He's going to let the pass. Heaves it deep. Near side looking for Gunnarsson, being held the entire way. And there comes the flag. It'll be a pass interference on Seymour. And Altoona will get a free 15 yards. The Altoona student body went in the Seymour player. No, the naughty, naughty. So 15-yard penalty on the pass interference will bring the ball to the 31-yard line. Time not really a factor when you think about it. 52 seconds left, but two timeouts. Two wideouts, once put each way. Yan in the backfield again. Van Vliet the pass. Looking for the middle. Heaves deep. Looking for the end zone. Picked off, though, at the goal line. Picked off by Carter Gesse. Past his own 10 along the far side of the 20. He's got some blockers to the 30. Out to the 40-yard line and knocked out of bounds. Shy of his own 40-yard line. Altoona again tried to take that wet bag of cement and finish Seymour off across the face. Gesse picks the ball off, and that was a beautiful interception. Reached up right in front of Everett Triba. Beautiful interception for him. And for Seymour, they'll now have the ball at their own 38 with 38 seconds to go until half and three timeouts.
Yeah, now this possession's in Seymour's control. They have the clock on